It's the weekend, and you have financial questions that need answering. That can only mean one thing. It's time for Jill on Money, the show that takes the mystery out of your finances. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Oh, boy, welcome to October. Mark says it doesn't feel like that. I know. It's not really October, depending on when people listen to this, right? I mean, it could be still be September. If you are listening to this on Saturday, I want you to know that I've pre-recorded the top of the show and most of this whole show because it's Yom Kippur. And therefore, as a Jewess, I shouldn't be on the radio. But I'm not doing it on Yom Kippur. Just know that. So don't judge, okay? Because you're not supposed to judge anyway on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, ending the 10-day period known as the Days of Awe. Happy New Year to all of my Jewish listeners and to all of you as well. Okay, so this is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. I am Jill Schlesinger. I'm a certified financial planner. I'm the senior CFP board ambassador. I'm the CBS News business analyst, and I am your host for the next couple of hours. And we are so happy and always honored that you join us. If you'd like to reach us, there's a few ways to do so. 855-411-JILL. That is our phone number. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. Tweet your question to us at Jill on Money, and Mark will love you even more than he already does. We like to start the program with a call. First up today, James from Philly. James, what is the best cheesesteak in the Philadelphia area? Go.
Probably Tony Luke's.
Tony Luke's. We got to write that down. Because I think I went to some place called Pat's or Jim's or one of those places.
Yeah, Pat's and Gino's, they fight against each other, but I'd rather skip all that and just go to Tony Luke's.
All right. Now that you've given me that information, I will answer any question that you have. How can I help you out today, James?
First, let me just say, it's an absolute honor. I've been listening to you forever. I love your show. I love everything about you.
Aren't you a sweetheart? And I love you, and I also love Philadelphia. I just want you to know that. It's one of the cities that I always say, if I lived anywhere besides New York, I think I would love Philly. Now, Mark is not a Philadelphia fan, but I think it's a hockey thing more than anything else. I love Philadelphia, and I thank you very much for your kind words. So let's get to the bottom of this. What are we doing for you today?
My wife and I are, after a few years of trying, we went through an IVF procedure, and my wife is pregnant.
Congratulations! Yay!
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's been a long slog, and I'm kind of a planner, so we've been saving up for this for a long time. But when she goes off of when she has the baby in March, she'll take off of work. She works full time. She'll be taking off of work for 4 or 5 months, but then I don't think we're planning on having her go back to work, at least for probably the rest of 2018.
Okay.
And we've been pretty diligent savers so far to this point in our marriage and in our life, and having her salary go away, and we're making some other big moves in 2018. We're looking to buy a house. We're looking to move, lots of different things happening in 2018. And I just wanted to kind of get your idea of what we should focus on.
Okay.
When we're having all of these changes happening.
That makes a ton of sense. So, James, how old are you?
I'm 36.
And how old is your wife?
34.
Okay. And how much do you guys make right now? So what is her salary? What is your salary or your comp, let's say?
She makes $47,500. Mm-hmm. I make $140,000 before bonus, and next year will be this is the first year that I'm bonus eligible, and so I'm expecting a bonus in March of next year, right around the same time as the baby being born.
Fantastic. I love that timing. What do you think that bonus will be in 2018? Give me the conservative side of that.
Probably about $20,000.
Great. Fantastic. Okay. And right now, in terms of money in the bank, just really safe, boring stuff, what do you have in the bank?
$200,000.
Okay, that's a nice nest egg, but I know we got to buy a house with that, some of that. What about your investments? Are you putting money into retirement through your workplace plan?
Yeah, so we've been we haven't been maxing out, but we've gotten pretty close the last couple of years. Between her and myself, we have about $405,000 in retirement.
Fabulous. Okay. And do you think that in terms of like what her game plan is, she'll be out in March. Will she have maternity leave that is paid?
Yeah, she'll. So there'll be some maternity leave, for a short-term disability covered through through her work and through her insurance. But she actually works in New Jersey, so New Jersey has a disability plan that'll pay out through insurance for a few weeks as well. So all told, I think she'll probably end up getting maybe somewhere between $6,000 to $8,000, which is not a ton, but you know, it's better than nothing.
Right. And so if she goes out in March, are you saying that like essentially through all sources it's as if she's getting paid through what month? April? May?
Yeah, she'll get probably fully paid through April.
Okay.
And right now my plan is, because I don't expect her to go back to work in 2018, to as much of that as I can to tax deferred 401k, mm-hmm. just get it all in there because she won't have access to it probably for the rest of the year.
Okay, very good. So you've got a nice salary, you're putting money away for retirement. What do you think you need to live on pre-baby? Like, what are you living on now expense-wise?
So we have another child as well, and her her costs are probably the biggest percentage of our budget. Taking out daycare, we usually spend about $55,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Her daycare ends up being an additional $17,000 or $18,000 per year.
So when your wife is home now with her hands full with these two kids, while you're off lollygagging at work, eating your bonbons and enjoying yourself, do we get to not pay that $18,000 next year? Or is your other child still going to need care or go someplace?
So that's a really good question. My view is that when we would probably be moving to a lower cost of living city. So I would like to keep my older child in daycare because I think it really does help her development. So, and just have my wife home with the babies. So I wouldn't expect it to be $18,000, but I do expect some sort of expenses there.
All right. Now, James, hang on the line. We're going to go do a quick bit of business. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this big move. Can you do, I mean, like 2018, you're going to be doing a lot of stuff. So let's break it down one by one and figure out what the sort of generalized game plan needs to be. You've done a fantastic job saving, so that's easy. You've made my life a lot easier. But let's figure out what you're going to be spending in the move. Let's figure out what the new house is going to be all about. Let's figure out what the new living expenses are likely to be. We'll get there. Don't worry. You're listening to Jill on Money, and we are busy planning James's life. I mean, if he's leaving Philadelphia, there may be only very few Philly cheesesteaks left in his life. Could be sad. Terrible. Anyway, we'll be back in just a minute, but if you've got a question, like James, about planning a move and baby and all that fun stuff, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Have a question? Call anytime, day or night, 855-411-JILL. You sit there
in your heart. You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We're talking to James, who's on the line from Philly. He and his wife are expecting their second child, which is so exciting. And you're also going to be doing a lot of stuff in 2018, and you said buy a house, and you also mentioned, is it a relocation, or is it just moving to a different neighborhood? What's going on for you guys?
It's more, it's moving to a different neighborhood, but it's at least an hour away. So it really is most more of a relocation within Pennsylvania.
I got it. And so right now, are you living in a rental or are you selling a home and buying another?
No, we live in a rental.
Mm-hmm. How much is your rent?
$1,250.
Oh, that's pretty cheap, actually. How much will the new house cost?
I'm set the budget at like $450. I'm hopeful that I can keep it at that rate.
Okay. And have you guys gotten pre-qualified? Everything's nice and clean on your credit record, I presume?
It is, but we haven't done it yet. We are thinking of doing it like early next year, so it'll be a little bit closer to like the when we're actually shopping, because there's not that many houses out now.
Okay. And would you put 20% down on the 450?
Yes.
Okay. So you'd put $90,000 down and then we'd finance the rest. And, you know, that actually seems like a pretty decent, that should be affordable for you, actually. So you'll still have a conforming mortgage, nice and easy. You're going to have tax. I mean, obviously your total expenses will be rising because even though you live in a city, you have very cheap rent. So there's no way around that. But I guess what my question is for you is, do you think in running your numbers that you can actually afford to have your wife be out of work for the whole year? That's my question to you.
Yes, I think so. I think the biggest issue for me is that I am I'm a saver. I'm definitely a saver, and I have been for a while. And it's going to drop our savings rate from, you know, we were putting away a good amount of money, you know, maxing out our 401ks and having some after-tax savings as well. And we're going to go from that to only having one 401k available and, you know, having savings just from one income. So we can swing it. I just don't know how long we can swing it. It's more of a comfortability thing for me,
okay,
rather than the actual numbers.
In the place where you're living, what are the taxes like?
Where we were looking to buy the house for about a $450,000 home, we're talking about probably $8,000 or $9,000 in taxes.
All right, and I'm just doing some quick back of the envelope stuff for myself. I think your housing costs are going to be, does this sound about right, $3,000 a month when you like factor in maintenance and all that fun stuff too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So $3,000 a month. And if we remove your wife's salary and we look at, say, your $55,000 a year in expenses and we pop that up by, you know, let's say another couple of $1,000s a month, because, you know, you'll have more expenses. So now we're at about $80,000. And so that, to me, sounds like you can swing it on one salary, certainly for 2018. And then you'll also still have a bunch of money in the bank. Are you thinking that the money in the bank is both your down payment fund as well as a little extra cash to float you through 2018?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Because that's what I think that makes a lot of sense to me, because I think that once you know, let's say you put your 90 down and then you're going to have to move and that costs $10,000, and then you're going to have to furnish a place because it's bigger and that's another whatever it is, who knows, $20,000. And now you've got $80,000 in the bank, and I think you're going to need that. So I don't think you should invest that at all. I think if you're hoping to maybe not spend $18,000 on the kid in daycare. Is it a son or a daughter you have?
A daughter.
Okay. So we want your daughter to continue to be able to go to daycare, then it's probably, you know, you're going to eat into that bank account sum of $80,000. Just pay it out of that. Don't try to pay everything out of cash flow, because you're going to drive yourself crazy. My goal would be, if I were you, you take that, you get your bonus, right? And you add it to your bank account, you buy your house, you still max out your 401k, you James. And if your wife wants to push some money in there, fine for 2018. But don't worry about, say, paying for the daycare out of your cash flow. Don't go nuts with everything. There's a reason why you saved all this money in the bank. You're going to spend it now. And so the only saving that you're really going to do for 2018 is to add to that retirement account and see how your cash flow feels. And then your wife can make a determination about whether or not she wants to go back to work full-time, part-time, whether you guys need it. Maybe your career is taking off. Who knows? But I think that you're going to have a lot of tumult in your life next year, and having all that cash is going to be really good. You're just going to have to let go of this concept that, oh my God, I have to be the best saver in the world. You're not going to be a great, you're going to be a really good saver next year. You're going to put money into your retirement accounts, but that's all you have to do. That's it. And then you're going to spend 2018 figuring out exactly what your needs are. And then you as a family, you're going to decide how to proceed. But I think that you've got a great game plan. And as far as I'm concerned, you've put yourself in a position so that your wife does not have to work next year. Whether that changes in 2019 is up for discussion, because we really need to figure out how you guys are doing on what you're on that one income. How does that sound so far?
That's great. I think I just needed a wise voice to tell me that.
You got your voice. And obviously for you, the big challenge is to let yourself off the hook. That's you. That's all on you, okay? That's not about anything else. You don't have to drive yourself crazy about this. And I'm going to, you know, essentially give you the CFP dispensation of don't worry. You're doing a great job. This is why you saved. And there's no reason to panic. Everything is all good here. So don't spend too much on that house, because, you know, I know you can start looking and all of a sudden you're going to call me back and say, remember I said 450? It's 650. It works at 450. It's not going to work if you blow through all this money and spend too much on a house, okay?
Got it. Thanks so much.
James, I'm going to Tony Luke's. That's it. Next time I'm in Philly, I'm going to eat a Philly cheesesteak in your honor. How's that?
That's great. You won't regret it.
All right. Thanks so much for calling. Take care and good luck to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's a good story, right? Really responsible, really smart. But you hear the reason why I'm saying the giving you that cautionary tale is that, again, we drive ourselves crazy. We don't often have to. In this case, James has done a great job, but he told me the biggest piece of information. It's that it feels a little uncomfortable for him. And I get that. And Mark says he too is the same way. But, you know, Mark was like killing himself when he had to actually spend money that he had saved to buy an apartment. The money was sitting in cash for a while. And then when he actually had to spend the money and buy the apartment, he was like, I can't believe I have to do this. You didn't like it. You liked the beauty, the simplicity, and the security of seeing that money in that bank account, even though you knew that it was earmarked to buy a place. Thank God you didn't buy that place, by the way, that fell through because of our friend. That was lucky. That was a lucky thing. All right, you're listening to Jill on Money. For more on Mark's foibles, you can email him directly. He is the one who answers all of that email. Ask Jill at jillonmoney.com. He makes the show run. He is the best producer in the world. He's actually my executive producer. 855-411-JILL. That's our phone number. And you can follow us on Twitter at Jill on Money. We'll be right back.
She's living in a world and it's on fire, filled with catastrophe, but she knows she can fly away. Oh, she got 4 feet on the ground and she's burning it down.
Oh. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Want to get in touch? Call or email any day, anytime. 855-411-JILL or ask Jill at jillonmoney.com.
This girl is on fire.
You're back with Jill on Money. Mark thinks I'm on fire. You just like it when I'm dressed down. I am so much better on the radio when I don't come off of TV. Do you notice that? I bet if we listened to the segments when I was, you know, wearing jeans and a t-shirt versus when I come off of television in my war paint, that I definitely think I'm more relaxed and happier. Well, that's what it is. Makeup is war paint. Going to battle every day. Network television. All right. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. And sometimes when we get you on the air, I ask you to follow up. And I would say 50-50 shot that people do follow up. Well, thankfully, Carl did. Last week, Carl gave us a holler. He participated in his school system's 403B accounts. Now, that's just a retirement plan run for teachers and administrators, kind of like a 401k. And Carl was upset because he, from a very young age, had used a product called the AXA Equitable Variable Annuity inside of his 403B. Now, this is quite common because for some reason, school districts just don't really like to vet the financial folks who are presenting options. I think it's because they don't want the liability, so they just have a smattering of people. And usually what is happening is that someone knows someone in the school and they say, oh, I am a financial advisor, and therefore you should want me to come in and help your teachers or your staff, okay? And so I had said to Carl, could you send me a list of the different 403B options? Because he was worried. He said, you know, I have this 403B. I have it in an annuity. I have not read anything good about annuities. I'm worried. I haven't heard anything good about this company. Am I just stuck with this? And the answer is no. So when he sent me this four-page listing of different 403B advisors and information, it was not surprising to me, as it wouldn't be to any other financial planner out there, any other CFP, that the bulk of this list is essentially a bunch of investment folks, counselors, insurance salesmen who are selling variable annuities inside of a 403B. Now, remember, what's the point of the 403B? Like a 401k, it is a tax-deferred vehicle, meaning you take money off the top of your salary, it goes into this plan, it grows without any taxation. When you retire later on in life, you pull that money out, you live your retirement, you live in large, and you are able to take the money out, but it is taxed at whatever tax bracket you're in at that time in the future. All well and good. So 403Bs work like that. Section 457 plans work like that if you're working in a municipality, and 401ks work like that. So what is the problem? The problem is that a variable annuity, which does have certain kinds of features about how you can receive money and how you can turn the money that you've saved into a stream of income, there are features that are available through those contracts. But the main feature that a variable annuity has is that it's tax deferred. Except that your account, your 403B, your 401k, your IRA, it's already tax deferred. So you're paying a fee, one of the biggest parts of the contract, in fact. The fee is really there because it's an insurance product with special tax features. You have those tax features. So therefore, in general, not always, but in general, we would prefer that you would select a cheaper option for investing in your retirement accounts. So Carl, he's got a bunch of different providers. So he's got his AXA Equitable. He's got a bunch of other life insurance companies and a couple of big mutual fund companies that have fees associated with them, places like Oppenheimer and Putnam. And, you know, okay, fine. Franklin Templeton. But here's what Carl has. He's got two lifelines to cheaper fees. The first, Fidelity Investments. The second, Vanguard Group. Both of these, it's so funny because what they do is they'll say investment provider, the name of the provider, the financial advisor, and then you have the contact information. So with all these different insurance companies, Yes, there is an actual financial advisor associated with it, but that's not a fee-only financial advisor, and it's certainly not a fiduciary financial advisor. It's someone who represents a company who's going to sell you stuff. Ergo, I think this list is silly because it just should say investment provider, and the next column should say salesperson, which is what it is. So good news for you, Carl. Both Vanguard and Fidelity are perfect alternatives to what you have. What I would like you to do is to contact, you know, you can do either one, you can do both, you can see which platform you like, click on these links into the website, look at the choices, and either Fidelity or Vanguard, I'm slightly more partial towards Vanguard than Fidelity because I like their index funds. Then you talk to somebody there and say, I have an existing AXA account. I would like the money to flow from my current account into a new Vanguard account with you, and then I would like to contribute into that account going forward. That is what I want to do. And I think that what you're going to be very delighted to know is that single move of going from a, let's say, a 2-ish% a year kind of account, you are likely going to go into an account where it's about 0.5%, maybe 0.25% a year. Just I'm talking in terms of the cost of the actual investments and the contract. And that difference, that 1.5% every year, it's the difference between you starting the year at -1.5 and the difference it's starting at 0. So go for it, Carl. Thanks for following up. Good luck. And anyone else who's got a 403B, send us a list of your options. We'll help you out. This is Jill on Money. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. We'll be right back.
Annuities, IRAs, 401ks. She covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Let me out.
Don't tell me everything. You're back with Jill on Money. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. And we are delighted that you're joining us this weekend, even though I am not really here this weekend. This is just all smoke and mirrors. So don't worry, Mom. I'm not working on Yom Kippur. All right? It's all sundown, Friday. This is going to be played on your station sometime between Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I will be fasting and repenting. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's not necessary. My spouse is not Jewish, so there's no requirement that there is a fast on the other side of the aisle. Just like I don't kneel when I go to a Catholic church, right? I go to the ceremony, but I don't kneel. No, there is no eating in front of me. I cheat a little bit, I'll be honest with you, because I'm so addicted to coffee. You're not supposed to drink coffee. But I think that I would be so horrible if I did not actually have that cup of coffee. So I usually have 2 big cups of black coffee. And here's my little wiggle out of this. The way I wiggle out of it is that I say that I think that a rabbi once told me that, you know, if you don't fast, like if you're in the hospital, if you're sick, you know, if you're taking medication, you keep doing that. So I just consider caffeine medication. And there it is, my sidestep into the gray area of morality. I admit it, though. All right. Last week, we had Wilbur, who called in, who had a $150,000 Northwestern Mutual life insurance policy. Oh, did he call in? Did he write in? I can't remember now. He wrote in. Okay. I feel like I talked to you even when I'm writing you. Anyway, he was 77 years old. He is 77 years old. He wanted to know whether to keep it or not. And I had mentioned that it was probably going to be better to keep it because he had a tax liability if you were going to blow up the policy. And he followed up because one of the things that I said at the end of that, and by the way, if you missed any part of that, just go to JillOnMoney.com, click on the top of the page, the YouTube link, and you'll hear last week's show. Just click on it. It'll be very easy to do. So here's what Wilbur wrote to follow up after the show aired. I heard it. Your advice is to ride it out, but to make sure I have an estate plan, because I said that. Please make sure you're 77. He said, yes, indeed, cashing out would have tax consequences. So here comes the confessional. At my age, we should have had an estate plan, but it's been a problem deciding who to leave our estate to because we don't have children, and we're working on the problem of who to leave the money to. It's not easy because the landscape keeps changing every year as we age. Thank you for your response, which I value, and I value your weekly column. You must think like me because your weekly columns are always quite relevant. Many thanks for your response, Wilbur. Okay, Wilbur, we still have to get you to do this estate plan. And here's something to consider. Let's say that you really don't know to whom you're going to leave this. So one thing to do is to leave it open-ended. You can say, if I predecease my wife has the ability to make a choice about what charity. You can set up a charitable trust right now where you can put some money into that trust and decide later how you might, or a donor advised fund, later how you want to actually divvy up the funds. But I think that even if you just went to a lawyer and your broad brush interest is we want to leave our estate to a charity or to some portion of to charity and some to a person, put something down on paper. Because my fear is that the more you delay, the harder it is to make these decisions. And you can make the decision as to which charity, which organization is worthy of it later, or whoever is managing this. But you still have to have other documents. You still have to have a power of attorney. I mean, what happens if you're out and about and you slip and fall and you break your hip? And you need a hip replacement, and now you can't do the things you thought you could do, like walk into a bank or maybe even just pay bills. You need a power of attorney. You need to assign your spouse the right to make a financial decision on your behalf. And also, you really, please, please, everyone, this is so important. You want to have some sort of healthcare proxy or living will, whatever is relevant in your state. And you want to tell people your wishes. And you want to appoint someone to be the decider. And you want to appoint the person who you know can actually carry that out, because sometimes people will appoint a child and the child can't really execute your wishes because it's too hard. So I know these are hard conversations to have. It's weird to start contemplating your death, but in doing this today, what I always say is you are allowing your heirs and your friends and your extended family the ability to grieve for you without cursing you for pushing this huge project called settling an estate on you without a will. And it's really important. So do something as opposed to doing nothing. Go see an estate attorney, Wilbur, and make sure that you and your wife are on the same page with it, okay? All right, you are listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL, our email address, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. And for those of you who are wondering why I'm working on Yom Kippur, I'm not. We're pre-taping this show. So don't write in anything bad about me. Pretty please. Don't tell my mom. No, we're pre-taping it, so don't worry. I'm all good. End of the month. End of the month. Fourth quarter will begin. Like a whole new universe. Debbie writes, The subject is closing paid off credit cards. Will it hurt my credit score if I initiate the closing of a paid off credit card? Thank you very much. I listen to you on KDKA, that's in Pittsburgh, as often as possible. Hey, wasn't KDKA the first radio station in the United States? I think we should look that up. I'm pretty sure it does. It was. Okay, let's talk about what affects your credit score. Number one, the most important thing, your payment history. It's about a little more than a third. Your length of credit history, the number of inquiries, the accounts they use, also the amount of credit available. So that is why sometimes it's very strange, but closing a credit card off, closing that account, can negatively impact your score. So Debbie, what I suggest is, you can cut up the card, you can throw it in a drawer, but you don't have to go actually close the account. Soon this will all be changing, we hope, because frankly, this is a silly system that we have. And as we know from the whole Equifax fiasco, the idea of these credit reporting companies and credit scoring companies having so much power in our lives, unfettered power that's barely regulated, is really going to have to be addressed. Okay, hey, guess what? Tomorrow, the new FAFSA form is available, and that is why our guest, Kelly Peeler, the CEO of NextGenVest, is our guest. Stay tuned. Everything you need to know about applying for that financial aid for college, very important. It's Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. We'll be right back. Dollar, dollar.